Good morning again.
Good morning.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we pray that you would humble us, Lord, that we would understand that we are never done learning from you, especially in learning how to pray. So, Father, we ask that you would teach us to pray this morning for your dear Son's words, Father. And Lord, help us to remember what a good, good Father you are and how we have little need to worry in this world because your Son is with us to the end of the age. In his name we pray. Amen. It was an exciting Friday night. I was there with some people who I'll never forget. It was my first year. It was the very first varsity game that I was getting ready to play as a junior. And we were hosting our rivals, one of our rivals that we despised, because we had never beaten them on the varsity level ever in the history of the young high school that I was attached to. The Galena Grizzlies, I played for the Galena Grizzlies, and we were playing against the dreaded Booster Colts. And they came in ranked number 3 in the state according to the preseason polls. But we knew that we had a special team, and we knew that we had the ability to beat those guys. And for three quarters all the way up to the 2 minutes, we were beating those guys. And we held on to a 6-point lead. And then their quarterback, who was a junior, who was 2 years away from going and getting a scholarship playing for the Colorado State Rams, Zach Bryson, he drove the team down. No, we were up by 7 points because he scored a touchdown with seconds left in the game, and they went for 2 points, and they made it, and our hearts were broken. We were there at home, and we almost opened up our season beating the Booster Colts. A year later, our opening game was there at Booster. And our defense earned a name called the Yellow Brick Wall. So our road jerseys were these brand, we had our brand new yellow jerseys that we wore. And that day, we played the Booster Colts. And once again, it was a tight game. And we were up by 7 points with minutes left in the fourth quarter. And Zach Bryson drove his Booster Colts down the field and scored another touchdown. And they went for 2. But they missed it. And we won. Whew. That was a nail-biter of a game. But one of my favorite memories that I will forever embrace was amongst all memories, was not the result of that game. Nor do I think that the result of the game was because of this moment. But I will never forget, we are all getting ready to take the field, dressed up, ready to go, and if you play football, you understand the mentality. You want to go and take the opponent's head off. It doesn't sound very holy to say in church, but Luther does speak about vocation, and the vocation of a football player is to drive your opponent into the ground. So if you're being faithful in your vocation, you're smacking the snot out of the opponent. That's called vocation. But I remember that we're getting ready to line up, and two of our most respected teammates. It was Todd Curtis and Barrett Young. And Barrett Young, he was a linebacker, and if you came into his if an offensive player came anywhere near his zone, he would probably almost take your head off. And they said to each other, "We need to pray." And they just called it to the team, and they said, "Guys, we are going to pray." And we knelt down together. And for the first time in the 4 years of me playing with those guys, we all said the Lord's Prayer. And every game following that in that season, we said the Lord's Prayer. We did it on our own. The coaches joined in. I don't know if, in fact, I don't, I'm pretty sure that some of those guys on the team were not Christians, but they still joined in at that point in time. And I think about those petitions, and I really hope that what we asked for in those petitions, God brought to my teammates. The Lord's Prayer has a special place in my heart, probably because of that moment. But it should also have a special place in all of our hearts, because in it, God does teach us the basics of how to pray. Jesus first takes this step, and this is something that we often overlook, but it is one of the most important components of prayer. Jesus was praying in a certain place. Jesus made it a habit to take that time to disengage from all the hustle and bustle. And Jesus was a busy guy. We think we're busy. Well, Jesus was busy. Very busy guy. And he would take time to be alone with God and pray. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" A couple of things. Many of you are like, "Man, we pray this every Sunday. We're doing a Bible study on this. Boy, isn't this kind of redundant now, Pastor?" Here's the thing. We know that Jesus taught this prayer multiple times. So repetition is important. Jesus, we know that he taught this on the Sermon on the Mount. There he specifically asked the petition to deliver us from the evil one. We say evil, but he made it even more specific. Deliver us from the evil one. And here again, we know this is a different circumstance because Jesus wasn't preaching the sermon at this time. We know that he was alone praying, and the disciples came to him and said, "Teach us to pray." Now, this doesn't mean that this is the only way to pray. Is to say this prayer. In fact, that's not what Jesus intended for at all. Yes, we pray this prayer. We say it every Sunday. Perhaps you say it at home. Luther wants us to pray, if we follow his catechism, Luther wanted us to pray it every single day. The one weakness of that repetition is that sometimes we might fall guilty of just saying the words without thinking about what they mean. And so there's a beauty in realizing that Jesus is sharing this prayer to teach us how to specifically pray for certain things for people. First of all, it's important to remember that Jesus isn't saying, "God, or most almighty, gracious one. He's not even saying, call him by his name, Yahweh. He is saying, call him Father. Call him Father. And he says, hallowed be your name. What does that mean, to hallow something? It's funny because we have a celebration that the church often overlooks in October. It really, for me, in my personal humble opinion, this day should be just as big for us as Christmas and Easter is. And that's All Saints Sunday, where we celebrate the reward and the victory that Christ has given us. November 1st is All Saints Day. We thank God for the saints who have come before us, the saints in our family who have died and gone before us into heaven. That Eve is called All Hallows Eve, the Holy Ones Eve, those who are the Eve on which we celebrate those who have gone into heaven. A lot of Christians say, don't celebrate Halloween, it's demonic. Yes, the world has once again taken something that the church has given to the world and has twisted it and made it awful. But that's our holiday, to celebrate All Hallows Eve, the Holy Ones. So when we're praying, hallowed, we're simply saying, holy is your name. And Luther, of course, says, of course, God's name is holy unto itself. But we ask this so that when we walk in this world, we remember that we are called and tasked to shine the light of Jesus to all we need. We are saying, God, help us to live holy. Last night, my Giants dropped their third game in a row to the dreaded Dodgers. And I thought it was a pretty bad pitch that the game ended on. But when I react in front of my family, who are Christians, I want to also make sure that I am hallowing God's name, even though I didn't like the result. Right? There are a lot of things that happen in this world that we can't control. There are a lot of things that happen in this world that we wish would happen differently. There are ups and downs. There are challenges throughout. Hello, we just went through a huge pandemic. How were you at hallowing God's name in living through the last few years? Thanks be to God that we have a God full of grace, because we do sometimes struggle. Hallowed be your name. Help me to keep your name holy and how I live. Your kingdom come. This flows with the other prayer too. Thy will be done. They're very similar in that sense, where we're praying that we do God's will, and we pray that God's kingdom does come, and it is going to come. But we want to make sure that God's kingdom comes for us as well, and that we recognize that. And in fact, when you wonder about how do I share Jesus with my neighbors? How do I share Jesus with people in my life who maybe they're not believers or they're struggling? I know we talked about this in the Bible study specifically today, but it takes prayer. You yourself alone cannot win someone over for Jesus. God does the converting. pray earnestly that God's kingdom breaks into the lives of your loved ones. This is what we ask for. Thy kingdom come. And we think about our worldly kingdoms, we think about our worldly nations. How much more blessed time would we spend when we, you know, when we're watching the news and we're reminded about how divided our nation is. And we think about how awful the other side is that's opposed against our own way of thinking. Instead of despairing, what if we confidently pray, Lord, Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come into this nation. I don't believe that we're going to vote our nation into the right path. I believe that we can share Jesus and that He can change the hearts and put our nation on the right path. Give us each day our daily bread. Boy, I am so thankful to live in this country, no matter what is happening right now. I'm so thankful to live here. Amy and I spent a week in some villages in Jamaica when I finished my first year of seminary. And we attached ourselves to a medical missionary team. And you talk about people who look like they were lacking in their daily bread. We are so richly blessed here. But yet that doesn't mean that you're not still struggling. Many of you live on a fixed income. And let's face it, the prices are hiking. I nearly did a dance at the gas pump, but I noticed it was almost a dollar cheaper yesterday. But when we see these high prices, and when we look at our bank accounts and we're kind of looking, oh, this is looking a little wonky here, we can confidently trust that we have a God, a Father in heaven, who knows all our good needs. And while prayer is a very spiritual thing, we are mind, body, and spirit, and God created us, and He knows that we have physical needs. He knows that if you got to get to work, you might need a car. He knows that you need to have clothes. He knows that you need food in your belly. He knows that you need shelter at night. Just as Jesus would say earlier, who of you, having a son, if your son asked for a fish, would hand him a serpent instead? But our Heavenly Father, who is so much more righteous than we evil people who fall short, who try to be good parents even, how much more is He going to gift better things, good things, the gift of the Holy Spirit, when we ask? And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Wow, Jesus is saying this pretty affirmatively here. We ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Jesus set us free on that cross. He forgave us a huge debt. We are spared from the fires of hell. A great debt has been forgiven all of us. And yet we struggle with relationships in this world. We struggle with forgiveness. I would encourage you to think of it this way. A grudge is a form of worship. When you have someone in your mind's eye who you're just thinking about, you're just going, oh, I'm just... It just caused me so much grief and so much pain. And And I just dread the very thought of that, and yet I can't let go of it. This is something that each and every one of us struggles with, and I'm saying including me as well. In forgiving them, in asking God, Lord, help me to forgive them, you are allowing God to set you free. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Worship Jesus. He is your Savior. Let go of the grudge and be set free. Because all you're doing when you're holding on to a grudge is you are making a God out of someone who has caused you pain. Forgive as you have been forgiven. And why does Jesus tell us to pray about this? Because it's hard. And we need God's help. Our Father in heaven gives good gifts, and he teaches us to forgive as he has forgiven us. Excuse me. Lead us not into temptation. There is an evil one out there. He lies. And while we do have our own sinful desires, he's got demons who are watching. And they know what our weaknesses are. When we pray this petition, to focus our mind on God, the true giver of good gifts, where we realize that our desires, our sinful desires, they're fleeting. And when we do indulge in them, they leave us feeling empty, broken, and wretched. And then there comes the devil saying, look what I made you do. You're an awful person. There's no way God can forgive you. Lead us not into temptation. And remember, too, forgive us our trespasses. We pray these things because we need them in our lives. And God knows our daily struggles. And what I love about this passage too is that as a father, I can get, I know what impudence means. My dear beloved son, sometimes he knows how to ask and ask and ask and ask and continue asking to the point where it's just like, oh my gosh, I just want to give in. And yet, God is inviting us to pray this way. He tells a story of someone who has a company come over. Oh, my company's here, I'm not ready for them. So I'm going to go knock on my neighbor's house and ask him for loaves of bread, even though he's all tucked into bed. I'm going to pound on that door. I'm going to ask him to give me some bread. And Jesus says, it's not because that person is your friend, but it's because he wants to get rid of you. Jesus is inviting you to pray in that way. But he's also saying that God, who loves you and wants you to pray like this, promises to give you all good things. We have a heavenly Father who is filled with reason and rationale. He directs the tides to create weather. The moon that orbits around us helps dictate the tides rise and fall. When he created Jupiter, he made it huge and massive and have a major gravitational pull so that instead of asteroids bunking into his crown jewel in this solar system and hitting the Earth, those asteroids would probably thunk into Jupiter instead of this world. That God filled with all this wisdom loves you and fearfully and wonderfully made you in each of your mother's wombs. And even while we were still sinners, He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. Jesus is He who knew no sin, but He became sin to be nailed on that cross so that we would know the righteousness of God. Jesus has given us the power to become children of God. And He has given us the authority to ask God to break into this world. And God listens to His people. God hears you when you pray. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find it. God is your good, good Father. Give Him a call. He wants to hear from you. He wants to graciously give you every wonderful, good, and spiritual blessing. That is who our God is. And He sent His Son to help you receive these blessings. And He gives you the Holy Spirit to help you believe these blessings. You are children of God. You can call on Him any time, in any place. He will answer you because He loves you. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God will surpass all wisdom and guard your hearts and minds and keep them from now until life everlasting.